Amen. All right. If you remember last week, we were talking about in Luke chapter 12. Remember Jesus, he entered a certain village. Now we're talking about weeks where he's going to go to the cross. And so he's heading in that to Jerusalem for that very reason. And he enters a certain village. And remember, he was met by the 10 lepers who they were crying out with their voice saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he tells them, just go to the priest and show yourself. He doesn't heal them. He doesn't say, "Okay, you're healed, now go." He just says, go to the priest and you heal your and let them see you cleanse, and so they can say that you're okay to get back into society. So we were talking about, and I asked you that if you would write these down. I wanted to give you five things that led up to their needs being met. If you wrote them down, you still have them that we can continue where we left off here. Remember, the first point was their desperation, how they had leprosy. They were desperate. They needed healing. And they wanted Jesus' touch. And so because of their desperation, they were very desperate. And so they were able to interrupt Jesus. And so that was a good thing. And then the second point was their humility. They had humility because they respected the law, and they made sure that they were afar off from where Jesus was. They didn't go up to him or around the people, because that would have been hard to do, and that was against the law. And they could have been stone, which they probably were, and killed and abused in many ways, but they stood afar off. So they respected the law. They had humility in themselves. The third one is that how they cried out for mercy. They cried out, "Jesus, Master." And the reason why they called Jesus Master here, which Master in the Greek, it does mean teacher or rabbi, but in this context, it's more deeper, because when they cried out Master, they were crying out to the one who had the authority, who had the power to meet their needs. Their needs needed more than just a rabbi. They needed the one who was able to cleanse them, not only physically, but also spiritually. And so we left off, and I want to share the fourth point now. Write this down. If you got a pen, make sure you write it down, and that way you know these points. The fourth point that led them to their healing is they had perseverance. Okay, they had perseverance. Now, the word perseverance, it means persistent in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. So you got to remember, when Jesus came, Jesus didn't go to them. He didn't see them and go directly to them. Okay, he was entering the village. Okay, even though he knew where they were, I think probably, because he does this a lot, probably wanted to see how much they really wanted to be healed. Maybe because he was trying to get them, and they needed to cry out loud for mercy in order to show their sincerity or their perseverance despite their difficulty, despite that they were lepers. And which I think this will show us sometimes, you know what, and maybe you I think you would agree with me, the Lord doesn't always heal or answers our prayers right away. Would you agree? Right? I mean, some of you probably experienced that. I have myself. Maybe the Lord is causing us, when he doesn't, maybe he's causing us to trust him more in order to build our faith, where he'll get us to cry out with even a greater sense of a need or desperation or perseverance. Because that's what happens when my prayers aren't answered and I'm in a desperate need. It causes, when he doesn't answer it right away, it causes me to even cry out even desperately for him, for me to persevere in asking. And also, when he doesn't answer right away, you know, that only causes us to seek him more in prayer. Did you know that? So sometimes I think the reason why God doesn't heal us is because if he healed you, you might not go to him as much. Paul experienced that. And he prayed three times and asked the Lord to heal his thorn in the flesh. And God said what? No. My grace is sufficient for you. Through your weakness, I'm going to be made strong on your behalf. It was his thorn in the flesh that kept him humble, that kept him coming to the Lord, kept him on his knees before God. So maybe there's something in your life that God has not answered yet because he's using that to get you to continue to come to him. Come to him to cry out and to grow and to mature in the Lord. So sometimes he just doesn't answer right away. But that causes us to seek him more in prayer. It causes us to seek his presence, to seek him in fellowship, because that's what he really wants from us day by day. Isn't that, do you agree? God wants your fellowship every day. In fact, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. Listen to what Jesus said. How many know that? Let's see who's sharp. Who knows that verse? Matthew 7, verse chapter 7, verse 7. There we go. Thank you. That's it. Yeah, that's it. He said, well, you didn't say it in order, but okay. It says, ask and you will be given what you ask for. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, find. If only you will knock, the door will be open. I think that's such a beautiful a way of Jesus getting us to continue in being persevere in our asking. Now that word, when he says ask, when he says seek, when he says knock, he's talking about a continuous asking, seeking, and knocking. He's not just asking to ask him one time. He's talking about a continuous bugging him. And if you compare what Jesus said here to maybe today, I think, and if we break that down today, the word asking there, it'll be like if you say, are we there yet? Okay, I'm going to do something right here. I'm going to say, are we there yet? You're going to say what? No. Okay? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Pretty soon you get like, you know, you see the movies when they have these little kids. Are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? That's asking for the Lord. God wants you to continue to ask him because he wants to hear you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to have communion with you, a conversation with you. But he does answer our prayers. Now, they're not always what we want, but he does answer our prayer, whether it's yes, no, or wait. Now, he says that we have to have a continuous seeking. And I was trying to figure one out for a cliche for this one, seeking. And I thought about, okay, I was given a poster or a little picture of Bigfoot. Because, you know, remember when I had this issue here, I was so drugged up and I was hallucinating and I saw Bigfoot standing by my bed. So they gave me, I got a picture and it says, the world's greatest hide and seeker. I think that's what it is. Is that what it is? The world's greatest, the best. And so I thought, okay, when Jesus says continue seeking, it's like hide and seek. You're constantly trying to find. You find someone, but you got to go. You don't win the game until you find them all. And if you don't find them all, you have to start all over and you have to do it again. Well, God wants us to be like that in prayer. He wants us to continue to seek him until we find him, until we hear from him. And then there's the continuous knocking he tells us to do. And I thought, okay, how can I relate that? Well, I remember, it wasn't a good thing, but I remember back in the day when we were roaming the streets. You know, you go and you knock on a door, you ring a doorbell, you run, and then you do the next one. We used to do that on our way home from our, when we were at the park, whatever, we'd do it on the way home, all the way home, because it was fun, you know. It'd be like ringing your doorbell. My grandchildren, when they come over, they just hold their finger on there, and they ring it and ring it and ring it and ring it, you know, and it just, it can drive you nuts. Well, God is different. He wants us all to ring that doorbell of prayer, continuously ring it, because he wants to hear from us. Pray without ceasing. That's what Paul said. We have to pray without ceasing. That means a continuous praying. So you're continually asking, you're continually seeking, and you're continually knocking. That's what Jesus tells us. Now let me give you the fifth point. The fifth point is that they believed and they obeyed. Okay? Look at verse 14. He says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. So again, Jesus did not heal them right on the spot. You think he would have. But he healed people, everybody differently. I prefer the just speak it and it's done. Some of you might prefer the spitting in the mud in your eye or spitting in your eye part. I don't know. If you're going to be spitting on somebody, you know, you want Jesus to do it, okay? I don't know if you've ever been spit in the face by someone I have. It's not fun, you know, or talking with somebody and they say it and they don't say it, they spray it, okay? Some of you are like that, okay? But I won't tell you, okay? I just look at, okay, Lord, thank you for baptizing me. Jesus did not heal them right on the spot. The lepers had to be obedient to what Jesus said to do. There was instructions that they had to obey in order for them to have their needs met. And also they had to obey the law, and they respected the law. And they had to go to the priest, and they had to report that they had been, in order for them to be cleansed. And if they just believed, if they would just obey the law, but most importantly, if they obeyed Jesus' words, then they would be cleansed. And notice that they weren't cleansed until they went. Verse 14, it says, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. I mean, that's having faith of the mustard seed that Jesus was telling us about. Just think about that. What if the doctor said, okay, you went to the doctors and you needed some healing operation. He says, okay, just go and go home and come back later and you'll be healed. And that would take faith, right? How many of you would believe that? Probably none of us, you know, especially if it's Kaiser. But Jesus, they weren't cleansed until they actually went, before they were cleansed. I mean, again, that's the faith of the mustard seed. Because these lepers, they had to go to the temple, they had to be inspected, and they had to be pronounced by the priest that they were clean, even before they were cleaned by Jesus. I mean, talk about genuine faith in the word of God, or in the words of Jesus, in the power to heal. So while they were obeying the Jewish law of cleansing in Leviticus 14, they were being healed by the word himself. That was Jesus. He is the word. That's faith, guys. That's just believing. I mean, Jesus you can just say it and it's done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Who knows that one by heart? Hebrews 11, 6. Don't look it up. Okay. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently, what? Seek him. So this verse in Hebrews 11, 6, it gives us two main key to faith. The first one is, you have to believe that God is who he say he is. That's what you got to believe. You got to believe. It's like Moses when he went up to the burning bush. Remember that? And God told him everything that he was going to do. And what did he do? He. Oh, no, Lord, I can't even talk. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, I can barely speak. You know, I can relate, you know, and all this. And he says, but God, if I go, they're not going to believe me. And who do I say you are? What is your name? So I can tell them who you are. And I love what God said. And I think I can't do justice. I think Dan does a better voice of God. Dan, can you do this? I am that I am, like as if it was coming from God.
Can you guys hear me? Yeah, I am that I am.
Okay, from 1 to 10, give him a 1. Come on. You're filled with God there, okay? Come on. Do it, God.
I gotta have something to read.
I am that I am.
I am that I am.
Oh, that's better. I like the echo part, okay? Who do you say that you are, God? I am that I am. And that's all they need to know. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine hearing that? God spoke to you and said, I am who I am. Whew, man, you'll just fall to the ground. And then secondly, faith believes that God is the one who will meet your greatest needs. Now listen, okay? Are you awake? Everybody awake? Look around. If somebody's asleep, wake them up. Okay? Okay. You need to listen to this because there are those who believe God is, but they don't really seek after him. So I'm going to give you two questions for you to ask. Homework. I want you to write these questions down, and I want you to answer them, and then I want you to bring back your papers, because I want to see what you have to say. Okay? I know some of you like this. Okay. Okay, so here they are. I'm not into classroom settings, obviously, because I didn't make it. In fact, when I got my ticket, driving ticket, I had to go to traffic court. I'm the type of guy, like some of you, I like to sit in the back because I just want to get in and get out. Give me my certificate and get out of here. And so I did. I sat in the very back. Oh, this is not bad. He won't call on me or anything. And you know what he did? No. He gets up. He goes, now I want everybody to stand up. Everybody stood up. Grab your chair. Pick it up. And he picked it. And we picked it up. He says, turn it around and set it down. Guess who's in the front row? Boom. So, you know, be careful what you ask for. But again, here's the two questions, okay? The first question, why must we diligently seek God? That's your first question. The second question is, why isn't it enough just to believe him when we have needs? You got it? Everybody got those two questions? Second one, why isn't it enough just to believe him when we have needs? Those are the two questions, okay? Because God knows that if we diligently seek after him, then the very things that we are seeking him for, he will give according to his will. Why isn't it enough? Or why isn't it enough just to believe him when we have needs, okay? The first one is, why must we diligently seek him? And I have come to find out that when I have a need and I seek the Lord and he sometimes answers my prayers or sometimes meet my need and sometimes he doesn't, I will come to the point in the realization that the more I seek him in prayer, I realize that it's him that I want more than anything else. If I don't get my prayer answered, it doesn't matter because I'm drawing close to him and I'm getting closer to him and I'm having this relationship with him. And if I seek him, he's going to reward me. Especially with that relationship that I have with him. So in reality, it's I realize that he's the one that I want more than anything else and than any material thing or anything he can offer. Because when we seek him, again, we're blessed with just, and you let me know if you agree, we're blessed with just hanging out with the Lord. How many times are you blessed with just hanging out with the Lord? Right? Well, that's my answer. Don't cheat. Okay. You got to give me your answer. Were you a cheater in school, brother? Like me? Yeah. Yes, amen. So, again, man, it's a blessing to hang. I am so blessed to be here hanging out with you guys. Because if I wasn't here, all I would be was be at home sitting on the couch fighting off the dopey Doberman. I am blessed. We're blessed just to hang out with the Lord. And he opens the door to answer our prayers. And to the many blessings that only come from Him. Psalms 31:19. David says, "How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for me, these for those who fear him." They're great. They're beyond measure. They're beyond more than we can imagine and think, his blessings. And I'm always saying, God, if you can give me peace just for 5 minutes, that's like eternity when it comes from God. Especially when I'm hurting, I'm in pain. Lord, when I had COVID, I had it real bad, that pneumonia and that bad cough, I just kept saying, Lord, tomorrow I'm going to be better. Tomorrow came, I was still worse, bad. Tomorrow, Lord, I'm going to be better. And eventually, God honored that, and I was better. But God, his goodness, it's laid up for those who fear him. Now look at verse 15. And then one of the leopards, when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Remember, he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Beautiful, beautiful story. So after they were all healed, only one came back to worship God at the feet of Jesus. Just one. And with that same loud cry of desperateness, right? Oh, God, mercy, teacher, Jesus, rabbi, teacher, have mercy on us. That same cry, this leopard, he comes with that same voice and he glorifies God with that same voice. And he cries out. And I thought, okay, Lord, sometimes I'm always crying out to you, Lord, heal me, heal me. What about when everything is good? Everything is great. Am I crying out to you as well and glorifying God? Or do I just come to him when I need something or when things are not going well or I like even what Jesus said when we curse men. He says that, you know, with the same mouth, you glorify God, but with the same mouth, you curse your brother. Now, I don't know why I brought that up. Only because it came from the same mouth. This leopard, it came from his same mouth to cry out in desperation for the Lord. Have mercy, have mercy. And all of a sudden, that switch around, and he's saying, thank you, praise God. How important it is that we glorify God. We glorify him with the same mouth that sometimes we might curse him or we might do something wrong, but we got to come back and we got to glorify God. Now, get ready to write down 5 more points here because we're going to look at 5 lessons of gratitude by these leopards, the 5 lessons of gratitude here, okay? And they're not positive ones, maybe just one. So the first point, okay, you ready to write it down? All the leopards were blessed and healed, okay, all of them. And all of them should have been the ones who came back to be thankful. That's the first point. Every one of those 10 leopards should have came back and given thanks to God. Each one of them had been blessed by Christ. They all recognized their need for healing. They all had humility. They all cried out for mercy. They all persevered. They all believed and obeyed. They all had their needs met, that need for healing. And they all needed to come back and to give thanks and to show appreciation. And I think that's true for every one of us. They all needed to show the Lord that they were thankful and appreciated for all that he has done for them. But they didn't. And the same goes for us. We all need to be thankful for all that he has done for us, even for what he has not done for us. Because he knows what's best for us better than you know yourself. Did you know that? Isn't that awesome to know that? I mean, Jesus, our Lord, is the only person on earth that I can trust my whole life, total life to. Even if it doesn't look good, I can trust him. When it comes down to that time when maybe we might be confronted by death, I can truly trust the Lord and say, hey, you know what? The suffering of my present time, it will not compare to the glory which shall be revealed in me. I can trust the Lord. I don't think I can trust my total life in your hands, you know, but maybe I can. You know, maybe Art, I can Art's life because, you know, he's a bus driver, so I can trust my life when driving. He's going to drive well. I don't have to worry about it. But again, he knows what's best for us. Now, listen to what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says. Anybody knows that one? Sharp? Okay, I'll read it. Therefore, by him, let us continually, okay, I'm going to read it again. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Isn't that beautiful? He says continually, not sometimes, not a couple of times. Continually, we should be offering sacrifices of praise to God. Second point. Only one came back to give thanks. Write it down. Notice what he did in verse 15. It says, in one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell down on his face at the feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He glorified God immediately when he was healed. He noticed he was healed. He glorified God immediately. And he shouted to the top of his lungs with the loudest voice possible. And you know what he was doing when he did that? He was witnessing for God. He thanked God for his cleansing. And he wanted everyone to know about God's mercy and his love towards him. I think that's another important part of our life that we need to bellow out to the Lord. When you are healed, when God does something great in your life, you should have the need to want to share it, to testify, and to witness for the Lord. I get blessed when people tell me they were healed. I get blessed when people tell me the Lord did something in their life. And it causes me to just thank God. Thank you, Lord. One of us is blessed. Yes. Thank you. Now bless me, Lord. I want to have that say. You know what? I used to doubt back in the 80s when I first got saved, and when the very first time I kept being bugged to go out and witness in the streets. And I used to say that was not my calling. I don't know if any of you feel that way right now. I used to say, no, that's not my calling. And then I got bugged so much until one day I said, okay, I'm going to go. And I went. And there was a bunch of us. We were witnessing Calvary Chapel San Diego, witnessing all over North Park, Balboa Parks, East San Diego, all over the place. Groups of people. And I went to Balboa Park, and we sat in a circle, and I didn't understand this, but we sat in a circle, and they said, okay, we're going to pray first. And so we prayed, and then they came back, and during prayer, people were saying, hey, God spoke to me. God showed me this. And I'm standing there, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, you nuts. What about a bunch of nutty people? I put them right up there in line with the Kirby vacuum cleaner sellers. You know, when you go there to one of their meetings, and everybody, first thing you got to do is pledge allegiance to the Kirby flag. And I walked out of that right away. I said, this ain't for me. But I thought they were nuts. And then I said, I kept hearing it. And I didn't understand it. And then I said, Lord, speak to me like that. Lord, show me something like that. Do that for me. What you're doing for them, please do that for me. And you know what? He answered that prayer right away. I remember the next day, the next Tuesday I went, and I'm sitting there, all of a sudden we're praying, and I didn't fall asleep during prayer. I have before during prayer. But I had this vision. God gave me this vision of a fire truck. And so when I saw this fire truck, And it was really clear and vivid. I mean, it was like it was right in front of me. And so I told everybody, I said, hey, you know, I don't know what this means, but I think God gave me a vision of a fire truck. And they kind of said, oh, yeah, okay, praise God. And so, okay, so I left it like that, and we went off in two pairs. And I remember walking up to the bridge there in Balboa Park, and I was getting ready to cross the street, and guess what turned the corner right in front of me? No. No. No, yes, it was. That was too easy of a guess, that's why. A fire truck, and you know how excited I got? Oh, man, I was so excited. Hey! I said, yeah, there's a fire truck, and I'm pointing at them, and the person with me is older than me, and I started taking off and running. He's going, wait, wait, and I was running after this fire truck who had kept getting further and further away, and I couldn't catch up with it because it's supposed to stop, but it didn't stop. And I ran after this fire truck, and I got to the end of the bridge, and it was what? Gone. And I went, I don't understand, Lord. So I did. The guy finally caught up to me, says, wait a minute, let me catch my breath. And I said, well, let's just pray for them. So we prayed for them, and we prayed for their salvation, and we prayed that they would get saved and they would be protected. But again, this one leopard, he shouted to the top of his lungs because he was witnessing for God. He's witnessing about God's mercy and his love towards him. This one man. Because he wasn't a leopard anymore. In fact, when Jesus healed the first leopard, Simon, and he came up and he touched him, everybody's head went off to the roof. You know, they were like, what? He's touching a leper, unclean. And Jesus, what leopard? The minute he touched that leopard, he was cleansed. He wasn't a leopard no more. So they were, well, where did he go? You know, always trying to find an excuse. This man wasn't a leopard anymore, but he worshiped Jesus. And notice that he fell down at the feet of Jesus, face down. And this was how he was showing his humility, how he was acknowledging the power and the authority of God in Christ and for his spiritual cleansing and salvation. And get this, he was also a Samaritan. Maybe the only one. Maybe the other guy, it says that he was the only foreigner. Maybe the other ones were Jews. All the lepers kind of hung out together. They weren't able to hang out with anybody else. They hung out in communities. And so the others didn't return to Jesus to thank him. After they were healed, they just went about their business. They went back to their old lifestyle. They went back to the lives that they used to live. So I think the lesson here to learn in the behavior of the lepers is that, guys, listen. Are you listening? Look around. Anybody sleeping, wake them up. There we go. Is that Jesus always expects us to return to him continuously. That's what he expects from you. Return back to him to glorify and to worship him as the source. He's the source of our power, our strength, and healing in our lives. I couldn't do this if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't do it. But this man, he worshiped Jesus. Now the fourth point, you ready to write it down? It was the ones that were rejected the most that were the ones that were the most thankful. Did you hear that? The ones that were rejected the most, like leopards, were the ones that were the most thankful. Notice the word in verse 18 there. It says that there were not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner. That word foreigner, it means that this man was a stranger from the covenants and the promises for the children of Israel. He had no hope. He was without God, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And Paul says, listen, because we can relate to this at one time. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at one time you were without Christ. You would agree with that? Unless you were, anybody here born, raised up as a Christian? Okay, we got two. Aurora, remember Aurora, Sister Aurora used to, she was raised up as a Christian, and I always asked her, would you share your faith? And she said, no, I don't have a testimony. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I was raised in a Christian home. I don't have testimonies like all these people, like all these sinners. I said, girl, I said, that is the greatest testimony of all. Someone who's raised up as a Christian living in a evil world. You kidding me? That's, I'd rather have that than what I went through. To say that I was raised up as a Christian, as a young man, a child, and then as a baby, as a teenager, and as a young man, and man, I would have loved that. But at one time, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? You guys didn't see? Come on. Isn't that great? You were brought near by the blood of Christ. Come on, let's get a little Pentecostal here, okay? It's okay. We're small enough, we can do it. This leper knew what he needed to be saved, spiritually as well as physically, despite the fact that he didn't know the real promises of God and that he had been without God at that time in this world. But praise God, he now knew God, just like us. He knew him from the heart. He broke out in praise and worship, giving glory to God because Jesus had saved him so much from the flesh that was keeping him from being healed spiritually. That's why he wasn't healed spiritually, because it was his flesh that was keeping him from that. He couldn't go to the synagogue. He couldn't go to church. He couldn't go to fellowship, the prayer meetings, the women's fellowship, which he couldn't go anyway because he was a man, or the men's fellowship, the youth fellowship, he couldn't get involved doing the sound. I bet if he was here, he would say, man, if I was in there, I would do that. He couldn't be. Why? Because he was a leper. And they did not allow them in their midst. So his physical well-being, or he wasn't even a well-being, his physical desperation kept him from the spiritual. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I'm going to read this. There's a few verses here, if you don't mind. I think this will bless you because it blessed me when I read it, when I thought about it. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. It's in Luke 7, and you probably know the story. You probably read it more. Luke chapter 7, if you want to turn there, that's fine. Verse 36. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought in an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair on her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself underneath his breath, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with them to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with her fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. What a beautiful story. This woman was a sinner. She was a big sinner. She had a lot to be thankful for her. She had a lot to bring before Jesus and ask for forgiveness. It was many. And because it was many, she had a lot to be forgiven for. She loved much and she thanked God much. And he says, the person who has little, that think they have little to be thankful for, they're going to love less. Don't ever think that you're better than somebody else. Don't be like that Pharisee who said, Lord, thank you that I'm not like this sinner praying next to me. Thank you I'm not like him. And that sinner there who, again, Jesus said, he wouldn't even look up to God. And he said, forgive me for I'm a sinner. Who, Jesus said, who did God justify more? He had a lot to be forgiven. The fifth point, and we'll end it here. The fifth point, write it down. The thankful leper was the only one truly saved spiritually. Look at verse 19. And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. The Greek meaning here for made you well is literally has saved you. That's what it means, has saved you. Has delivered, has protected you literally and spiritually. He was now made whole. Jesus saved him. He made him whole in body by healing him. And Jesus was telling the man that his sins were forgiven as well. And that he was made whole inwardly as well, not just outwardly, by giving him that assurance of salvation. All the lepers were healed. Yeah, but were they all healed spiritually as well as physically? Yeah. We're not told why they didn't come back. But what we do know is that this one man who was grateful and thankful was the only one who received the assurance of being cleansed and having his sins forgiven. Just like us, we're here for the same purpose, to be cleansed and have the grace of God and the Lord forgiving our sins, for they are many. Not only in physically, but spiritually as well. Others didn't. They didn't come back to express their gratefulness and their thankfulness. I think so the lesson here to learn is that being grateful and thankful and showing praises to God for your healing and your salvation, bringing forgiveness brings this assurance to our hearts. I don't know about you, but when I know the Lord forgives me, it just brings this assurance of salvation, assurance of faith, assurance of cleansiness to my life, to my heart. It stirs up the Lord for him to be able to speak in my heart. And that's what gives us the assurance of acceptance, of healing and cleansing. I think one of the biggest tools that the enemy will use to take down Christians is the lack of assurance of salvation. As a Christian, we should never be in our vocabulary. If somebody asks you, are you saved? I think so. I hope so. I don't know. Never. I am because God says, I am who I am. And we were all made in the image of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.